Yesterday was the anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s final sermon. He, a few days later, would be taken out of this world. And it's interesting because I read the words that he had spoke at the Washington National Cathedral. And he spoke on the topic, remaining awake through a great revolution. In his message, he made this statement. On some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it expedient? And then expedience comes along and asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? Conscience asks the question, is it right? There comes a time, he said, when one must take the position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular. But he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. 4 days later, he paid with his conscience and went into eternity. As I read his story, and hard to imagine, 50 years have passed, I realized that for him and for every other person who's ever chosen the name of Jesus, there are life-changing choices that we make. Life-changing choices that define everything about who we are. And today we look at an interesting passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 15, in the latter part of that text, and into chapter 16, we find where those who are connected to Jesus all have to make choices. And what you discover in life is there are lots of choices we make. We make choices about where we will go, what we'll eat, what church we'll attend on Easter. We make these choices. They're all defined by certain things. But what you can discover today is that as you look at those who are making these choices, the most dynamic thing about their choices is they have the courage to do the right thing. Because the reality is, for each one of us, we could choose what looks best or sounds best or appears best, or we can choose what is right and courageous for each one of our lives. And so today, think about your own life. And you think about the span of your life, and you begin to ask yourself the question, how would I describe my most courageous choice in life? How would I describe that moment when I realized that I had to courageously step into God's best for my life? Because the truth of the matter is, without courage, it's impossible to accomplish what it is that God intends. So in Matthew chapter 15, look at it with me if you would, because I want to show you something that transpired. Chapter 15, beginning in verse 42. When evening had already come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, watch this, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. And he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate wondered if he was dead by this time, and summoning the centurion, he questioned him as to whether he was already dead. And ascertaining this from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Joseph brought a linen cloth, took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb, which had been hewn out of stone in a rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were looking on to see where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Salome, bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, notice this question, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. They went out and fled the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Verse 9, now if he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him. And while they were mourning and weeping, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. Now, I want you to get this in your mind for a moment. Here is the most amazing story that's ever happened in history. Here's the story of what transpired when Jesus comes out of the grave. Well, you can fathom that there are different figures that are all in this story. Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the council, 70 member, Sanhedrin, who made the decision in the first place to let him end up on the cross. They did not stop it. But Joseph Arimathea, it's interesting because if you look at all the Gospels, he's referenced in different ways. He's noted as the secret disciple. He's noted as the one who did choose to believe in Jesus. But here it's interesting how he's described, because it says in verse 43 that when the member of the council himself was waiting for the kingdom of God, and he gathered up courage. The word courage there has to do with doing something very boldly. And you boldly step into something. And as a result of that, here is Joseph Arimathea, and he goes to Pilate and says, you know what, I want to be the one who takes care of his dead body. But he had one quality that that is inside of him that allowed him to experience and do this. He had courage. And I'll tell you what you discover. It takes a courageous person to step into God's best for the life and make the right choice. It takes the courage to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what. And I want you to think about what courage can do, because courage has a lot of things that can happen inside of our lives. First of all, courage is about seizing a moment in our lives that may never come again. In other words, we grab hold of something and say, Lord, I want to experience this no matter what. I've been blessed and privileged to experience many unique moments in life. But what you discover is some don't come around a second time. They're there that one moment, and you grab that moment and say, you know what? I have the courage to grab hold of this and experience it in a powerful and amazing way. That's what courage does for us. But it doesn't just stop there. It's also, courage is about an opportunity to demonstrate love. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, Joseph Arimathea, he had fallen in love with Jesus. He just didn't want everybody to know about it, because the Bible says he had some fear. He had some fear that some would react a certain way. Can you imagine how they would have reacted? But it didn't stop him. At the moment he needed to be courageous, he grabbed hold and said, you know what? I want to be responsible for burying Jesus. And you can imagine Pilate's probably looking at him with all his garb on and everything. He said, are you serious? You want to be the one who takes care of this? Are you not concerned about what your friends will think? Are you not concerned about what others will say? And what's interesting about the choice to follow Jesus, the life-changing choice to follow him, it is not so much what anybody else thinks. It is all about what he thinks. Because when you have the courage to trust him, you have the courage to experience him. And when you experience him, it changes your life forever. Courage has one other quality that stands out. When you think about what happened with regard to Joseph Arimathea, in the midst of Jesus' death on the cross, the courage that he had to be present in the moment was the most powerful testimony of his entire life story. And I want you to think about this. All of us have moments where we are present in those moments, but we have to be willing to say, Lord, I want to live this way you intended. And so this courageous experience for Joseph Arimathea opened his eyes up to experience something he never dreamed. And the truth is, we don't know all the things that transpired after the ascension, after he came out of the grave. We don't know all those things. But here's what we do know. There was one guy who religion said it was not enough. He had to have the courage to go beyond his religion to say, I want to be a part of this story. And if you think about in the Gospels, whose name appears in the Gospels? Joseph of Arimathea, a man who understood and discovered and had the courage to live out his life in a way that honored God by saying, I want to be a part of this story now. So I want you to think about in your own life, What happens if you start making good choices? The consequence of that is powerful. Each choice you make has consequence. Last Sunday, a state trooper in Utah, and I wrote his name down exactly. His name is Cade Brinchley. Cade was walking down the road to take care of a stalled car, and a lady came plowing down that road in that canyon and hit him. His video has been seen by millions of people all over the world. That car hit him, went flying in the air. They interviewed him at the hospital a few days later. That same lady who had hit him had brought flowers to him. That lady was hysterical because of what had transpired. And it's interesting what he said. The state trooper said, this person did make a mistake. But of anyone on earth that ought to hold something against her, it's me. But he said, I have no issue with that young lady who hit me. And as I read his story, I thought, can you imagine the courage to say, you know what, I forgive. The courage to know it wasn't something that she would ever want to do again. She learned a great lesson. So think about in your own life, what would happen if you just had the courage to say, you know what, I'm going to make the right choice. And today I want to show you four choices that are made that they will keep your Easter perspective right in tune. The first choice has to do with Joseph of Arimathea because he made one choice that was most defining for his life. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. In other words, he knew it wasn't about him. He knew it was about something much more consequential. And so the Bible says that he was waiting for this. In fact, if you read all the Gospels, you realize that he was in this search. He was in pursuit of something. He wanted to know that the choice he was making was the right choice. And so the Bible says he was waiting on the kingdom of God, and that's why he ended up being so courageous. So what was inside of him? He was inspired, wasn't he? He was inspired beyond his religion to seek Jesus, to honor Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine he had every ounce of pressure on him to line up with everybody else. And we live in a day where it's easy for people to feel like they got to line up with everyone else's perspective. But Joseph, he broke ranks with all of them because he had his desire to honor Jesus. And it's interesting because you realize that he was going to place Jesus in the tomb he had bought for himself. The reality was he was not a young man. He had lived a lot of life. And yet he realized something, that the tomb that he owned was actually bought in his heart to accomplish something beyond himself. And as a result, he chooses to honor Jesus because what? He's waiting for the kingdom. I don't know if you've ever had to wait on anyone or anything, but it's never easy, is it? Sometimes when you're waiting in a restaurant and your food doesn't get there and you keep waiting and you're waiting and waiting. Sometimes you're at a traffic light and we have a few lights right around here that are there to test your faith. Because what happened? The light will switch. And my wife and I have a very interesting little deal we do whenever we get in front of one of these lights, especially if you're at Medlock at Peachtree Industrial at a busy time. If a person is going north on Peachtree Industrial, they're a happy person. If a person is going across Medlock towards the church, they're very sad because that light changes and we count how many cars get across there. And between texting and talking and not paying attention, normally three cars get across. So you count one, two, three, up, light's red again. And what you discover is it's hard to wait. And it's interesting because my wife, believe it or not, my wife is not as patient as I am when it comes to that light. And she will... We'll come up to light, and it's yellow. And for her, yellow means, move it, buddy. Life is too short. Get on through that light. My thought is, yellow says, wait, wait, wait. You're about to get hit. And so it's hard to wait because you know you're going to have to wait through. And so what do? I count how many cars in front of me. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. And then every once in a while, number four will get on through that light. But here's what I want you to think about. When it comes to waiting, there are a lot of things we have to wait on for a long time. For example, I wait now to see God do certain things in certain people that I love dearly. I wait on him to touch their heart in a way that only he could. When I think about this service, I wait on him to touch people's lives. Because here's what Joseph of Arimathea was waiting for. He was waiting not for himself, but he's waiting for the kingdom of God to show up. And what he discovered was, as he watched Jesus die, he realized something. The kingdom of God had appeared. He had no idea. He had no idea that Jesus was going to come out of that grave in 3 days. But what I want you to think about today, you make the choice. Am I going to wait on God? Am I going to wait on the kingdom? Am I going to experience what he has? If you do, it moves you in an amazing way. The story moves forward because from Joseph of Arimathea, there are others involved in the story. The second thing you would miss this if you're not watching very closely. Notice what transpired. Verse 47, chapter 15. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were looking on to see where he was laid. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. And I watched this today. I was pulling out of my neighborhood, and someone was having a service on Easter Sunday morning at the Crowell Brothers. And they were gathered around that tent. And I was thinking that for everyone who's at that tent, they know exactly where the person they loved has been buried. But for these Marys and for others, they didn't know for sure where his body was going. And what I want you to see is they had to make a choice. They had to make this choice to start watching for where he would be buried. They started watching for the burial site. In other words, they knew that if they could find where he was buried, they could honor him with the last choice they wanted to make, and that was to anoint him. And it's interesting, by the way, that some of the things that were purchased to anoint him were bought by Nicodemus. And if you think back about Nicodemus, Nicodemus was a guy who wanted to figure out who Jesus was. And that's why he opens up in the early part of the Gospel of John and tells the story of what happens to Nicodemus and how he turns his heart towards what it is God has for him. So I want you to imagine for a second. They're sitting at a place where they can watch everything that's transpiring. It would be like me being in a place where I can see all of you wherever you are. Which, by the way, this building is great for that because I can see you. If you doze off in church, I can catch you. All right? Because there's great sight lines. I can see everything. So, Lord, stay awake up there. All of you, keep your eyes open. But here's what you can imagine. For Mary, her heart is broken. Her heart is broken, is pierced because she has lost what she treasured the most. But you know what she doesn't do? She doesn't run home like the two men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has to go catch up with them and say, hey guys, wake up, the story doesn't end this way. But for Mary, the ones who had been transformed, here's what transpired. They're sitting there watching, they're watching. And so eventually they realize he's buried right there. And here's what I want you to get in your heart and mind. Mary was positioned to see the grave so that she could act effectively when the time came. And here's what I want you to see in your life. You are positioned when you're seeking the right answer to courageously understand what it is God has for you. And so you can effectively experience life. Through the years of being a pastor, 40 plus years, there are times I encounter people who are looking for an answer, but it's not the answer that will change their life forever. They just want a solution to their immediate issue. And they'll come in and they'll say, you know, I didn't tell you about such and such. I'm dealing with so and so. What do you think? And you tell them what you're thinking. Then you ask them, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm not sure. Well, you mean like, you know exactly where you're supposed to go? You know what you're supposed to do? I had a friend of mine, this happened just a few months ago. He had spent 4 years trying to guide this one couple to an awareness that life works a certain way. And every time he would move them an inch, they would go back a mile. And so they were about 40 miles back when they came in and they said to him, it's over. I don't like him. He doesn't like her. We don't like each other. But we came one more time to see if you might have something to say that might help us. Well, you can imagine my friend, he's sitting there thinking, what do you say to somebody after 4 years? And it's interesting what he said. He looked at him and said, I only have one word for you. If you will do it, it will change your life forever. If not, your marriage is gone. And he looked at both of them and he said, repent. They looked at him and said, you mean like, what do you mean by that? He said, repent. You have lived for yourself so long you can't even see the other person. You have lost sight of the one who knows your heart. Repent. They both started weeping. They both started crying. They have the most mesmerizing and amazing relationship today. If you ask them, what did the pastor say? They say one word. Repent. But even tell you what happened to them. After hitting dead ends for over 4 years, something, the light went off and they realized, the one thing I need to do is I need to repent. And as a result of that, it changed their life forever. And you sit there going, now what does that word mean? The word means, literally mean, if you're going in this direction, to turn completely in the other direction. I ran into the wife of this story just a few months ago. And she was glowing. I mean, she was so vibrant. Last time I saw her, she looked like she'd be hit by a truck. And so she was vibrant. And so I looked at her and I said, man, what happened? And it's interesting what she said. You know what? Repent. And she said, I changed my whole life because I realized that everything I was thinking about was focused on me. And you know what's interesting? Our selfish nature doesn't really love that word. Our selfish nature says we want it our way. We want to do it our way. But I'm going to tell you, when you make the right choice And what I want you to see today is that they were looking for the right place to do the right thing in the right way, and God showed them, and they ended up going to that tomb. Which brings us to choice number three, and that is learning how to ask the right question. Because I want you to see what transpires here. Notice what happens. These ladies, chapter 16, verse 3. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" Now, I want you to get in mind this for a second. First of all, they knew how big the stone was. Secondly, they knew they were women. They realized they weren't going to have the brute strength to be able to push that stone away. And they were thinking, man, who is going to move that stone? And it's interesting because their first thought is, I doubt the guards are going to move that stone. Those people have been placed there to make sure nobody goes inside that tomb. And I want you to imagine they're gathered together. These ladies are gathered together and they're saying, man, what do we do? I mean, how do we get that stone? We're going to have everything we need to do what we're supposed to do to honor Jesus in our last act of love. It's our last opportunity to ever touch his body, to be blessed by who he is. And they're like, who's going to move the stone? And listen carefully. It is the same question we had to ask ourselves. Who moves the stone of our disobedience? Who moves the stone of our complacency? Who moves the stone of our own mediocrity? Who moves that stone? Only Jesus. He's the only one that takes that stone away. Can you imagine for a moment? You sit here and you think, oh man, you know, I have this one defiant part of me. I have this one part of me that I can't get past. And all of a sudden, you ask yourself, who's going to move that stone? Who's going to take that stone out of here? And what I want you to think about today is, if you have a habit that takes you away from God's best, ask him to move the stone. If you have an attitude that takes you away from God's best, ask him to move the stone. If you have a situation that's bigger than you are, whether it's your job, whether it's an issue with your family, whether it's an issue with someone you care about, ask him to move the stone. Because here's what you discover. No obstacle is so big that God won't provide an answer. There's just no obstacle so big that he won't say, this is the answer for you. I want you to imagine for a moment. You ask the right question, and then all of a sudden, he becomes an answer to you. And what happens is when we allow him to become our answer, something transpires inside of our hearts and lives. Because all of a sudden, our lives, our question marks start disappearing, and we get exclamation point. We start being able to see that he is at work. Today, my friend, Charles, they handed me a bulletin of the day I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And there were certain things about that picture in that bulletin. It reminded me of how fleeting life is, how life changes so much so quickly. And as I was looking at it, I was reminded that all of us are like a vapor. And I want you to take a moment, and I want you to look at a text that will remind you this. Turn it in your Bible back to Psalm 144, all right? Turn there, and I want you to look at very quickly at something, because this past week when I was meditating, thinking about what Easter is really all about, because if you think about it, you got to have the answer to the questions you face in life in order to experience life the way he intended. So look at Psalm 144. Let's get the background of this psalm. This is the place where David realizes he has so many stones in front of him, so many obstacles, so many people, that he didn't know which way to turn. But then he comes back to what he knows is true. And what I want you to think about today is this. You know the truth, and the truth rests in Jesus. And so what happens is, look at Psalm 144, and notice what David said. Verse 1, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." Look at verse 4. "Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow." So what does David see here? He realizes something. He makes this statement that he trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Now watch this. Here's what David said. He gives me enough strength to fight through anything I'll ever face in life. But he gives me enough precision to be able to use my hands to do exactly what I'm supposed to do. I have a friend who is in residency now for medical school and will be an amazing surgeon. Wants to do micro-robotic surgery. And it's interesting because what happened to her was she, as a teenager, there's one benefit to video games that demand your fingers moving like this. And that is, she learned how to use her fingers, and the dexterity and all the use for fingers allows her to be able to go in at any place and operate and change someone's life forever. And here's what David said. When my hands, my strength, and my fingers, my precision line up, my life matters. And what he says there in verse 4, you can't miss this principle. Because what he says is, I'm but one breath, and my days are like a passing shadow. Here's the question, how big is your shadow? Because if your shadow doesn't reflect what it is God has done in you, then you end up missing the essence of what your story was all about. And so today I want you to think about your choices. First of all, do you choose to look for the kingdom of God? Secondly, do you make the choice to watch for where it is that God wants to work in your life? And by the way, the burial site you should look for are the places you should bury the things that you know don't get you where God wants you to go. An attitude or disposition, a perspective, something that keeps you from experiencing God's best. And then you begin to ask yourself that third question. And that is, what is the right question for me? Finally, you come to choice number 4 as we wrap together our thoughts today on Easter Sunday. When you get to the fourth choice, it has to do with learning how to listen to what seems impossible. All right? So I want you to get this in mind. Mary and the others, notice what happened. Verse 4. Looking up, when they got to the entrance of the tomb, they saw the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Now, I want you to get this in your mind for a second. It's like all of a sudden, everything they had been thinking through, they start remembering something. Wait, that's what Jesus said he would do. That's what Jesus said. You tear it down, in 3 days it'll be rebuilt. They're thinking through all these thoughts, but they're also going, wow, this seems so impossible. How could it be? How could it be that he who was dead is now risen and alive? And it's intriguing because what you discover is what Jesus tried to show each one of us, nothing is impossible with him. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Imagine what happens if today, sitting in church, you begin to think, wait a minute now. So I should live my life with a perspective that nothing's impossible with God. That's exactly what you should do. That's the choice you should make. It takes courage to do that. Because you may be sitting there thinking, I'm not sure how this will ever transpire. I'm not sure what it is that God will do to make this change. But then you start thinking, wait a minute now. They believe the impossible. And it's interesting because the angel gave them very clear instructions. And the instructions were there. Why were these instructions so clear? Because those instructions, more than anything else, were to lead them to hope. Because what happens is when you hear what it is he's saying to you, and it begins to lead you towards hope. For example, you could be here today battling an issue that you never dreamed you would. And as a result of that, you're trying to struggle through which way to turn. And this last week, my phone rang, and it was a sweet lady I know, and she began to tell her story. And as she told the story, she said, I'd really like, would you mind if I could talk to the pastor? Would it be helpful? Would you mind if I could talk to the pastor? I said, I'm sitting there going, I am the pastor. And so I was listening to, and as she shared her heartbeat and what she's dealing with and what she's encountering, finally I said to her, hey, I am the pastor. And it's interesting because you could see a light went off. She realized, you know what? I got the right number at the right time to pursue the right answer. And here's what I want you to see today. You may be dialing the wrong number. You may be looking for an answer that doesn't lead you to hope. You may be thinking that, for example, you can change anybody or change any circumstance or change any situation. But it's not true. The truth is, Jesus changes everything. And I want you to imagine what happened today if someone sitting here starts doing the math. Okay, I did it my way. That didn't work too well. I looked for the answer. I couldn't find it. I live with something I can't overcome. I'm challenged by someone whose perspective isn't lined up with God's best. And all of a sudden, you go, wait a minute. It's not about anybody. It's about you and him. You and him. And how much courage you have. I want you to imagine for Joseph Arimathea, after he chose to ask Pilate for Jesus' body, his life was never the same. When those in the Sanhedrin and others, when they saw him, you know what they did? They shunned him. They shunned him because he had the courage to choose the impossible. I want you to imagine today, you have the chance to have the same courage to choose the impossible. And all you have to do is be willing to say, Lord, I choose you. It could be the best day of your whole life. In fact, it would be the best day of your whole life. So the question I ask you is this. Do you have the courage to make the right choice today? Because on this Easter Sunday, if you make the right choice, you make the right choice, what happens to you? Your heart moves away from your analysis to his supernatural analysis. And I can tell you this. No one is so far, no one is so distant that they missed out on what God can do if they simply say, Jesus, I choose you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for every person gathered in this room. For some who are here, it's a choice that could define their eternal destiny. For some who are here, it's a choice to be able to say yes to you beyond themselves, beyond their circumstance, beyond their situation, because Jesus, you are the answer. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. You spoke those words to speak to our hearts and lives. They still resonate with us today. May someone here have the courage to say yes to Jesus. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.